This episode of New Jersey Living, the podcast, we are still walking into some culinary space. We were here just a couple weeks back. If you were here to see my episode, listen in on my episode with Casey Webb. This episode, we have another treat, and I love being able to promote every Jersey product or person, personality, if you will, that we can, that really promotes what you can find here in New Jersey, what New Jersey produces in terms of just talent, innovation, ideas, business. This is something that I love opportunities to be able to highlight. So today you're going to want to step into a space of culinary excellence. Stay tuned. Let's get this started now. Welcome to New Jersey Living, the podcast, where we explore all things New Jersey real estate. I'm your host, Corey Jones, a real estate agent with Coldwell Banker and team leader of the New Jersey Living Group. We're a team of experienced agents who specialize in residential sales in several counties ranging from Bergen County in northern New Jersey to Ocean County down the shore. On this podcast, we will talk to real estate experts, local business owners, community leaders, and town officials to get the inside scoop. Various towns in New Jersey. We'll discuss everything from the latest market trends to featured local attractions with dining, recreation, and entertainment. Whether you're a current resident, a prospective buyer, or just curious about New Jersey real estate, we have something for you. So sit back, relax, and join us for a conversation about all things New Jersey living. Welcome to New Jersey Living, the podcast. We are here featuring today another culinary episode. And before we even jump into it, I want to make sure everyone clicks like, subscribe, notification bell. You want to stay in tune to content like this that we have coming your way. This is just a taste, no pun intended, of what's to come for you. All right. So we are honored today to have a guest with us, Chef David Burke, and we are going to talk specifically about one of the restaurants that we visited just recently. You're going to see a lot of footage on Fox and Falcon in South Orange, not far from my office in Maplewood. Before we get into that, I just really want to, again, welcome Chef David Burke. Really grateful for you taking the time to be with us this morning. So thank you.
Corey, my pleasure. Nice to be here.
Absolutely.
Nice to be here.
So Chef Burke is a New Jersey native, because I want to first just get a piece of his story of growing up in New Jersey and how that journey led to culinary.
I grew up in Hazlitt in the 70s. Simple, good upbringing, you know, sports and rock and roll and you know, lots of woods and lots of nature, and we had the ocean close by. Elmdale Park, PNC, you know, went to lots of shows at night, you know, as a teenager, of course. And then I had a paper route as a kid, which doesn't exist anymore. I always worked. You know, I always was working, even as a youngster. And then I got a job at a hotel on Route 35 in Holmdel, on the Hazlitt border, and I was a dishwasher. And that's basically, if it wasn't for that opportunity to work with some of the big boys, you know, the older guys, I was like 14 or 15 years old, to get in that insanely wonderful camaraderie experience, which is called a kitchen, without even the pressure back then. I'm a dishwasher. It's not that much pressure,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But to see some of that. That energy and that creativity and that chaos and was kind of exhilarating.
And so before that, was there any particular interest in cooking per se, or did that, yeah, was that stimulated by that?
No, I don't come from a food family.
Okay.
So there was no cooking at home, no grandma making gnocchis or any of those stories.
Okay.
It was, it had nothing to do with my family.
Got it.
It was my mother worked at the hotel in the housekeeping department, so she got me the job.
Okay.
Thank you, Mom. But I, And that's what led me into my foray into the kitchen. I was a good athlete. I was a varsity wrestler as a freshman.
Right.
Many, many pounds ago. I was 101. I was a 101-pound wrestler.
Okay. All
and
right.
And I had
lighter
good
weight.
Grades, so I was a decent student. And my parents were a little perplexed as to when I decided to tell them I really want to pursue that as a career. Because this was 76.
Okay.
Being a chef was not a profession until 78. So telling your parents you want to go to culinary school in the late 70s like that was basically telling your parents, I want to be a janitor, or I want to be a maid, or I want to be a utility worker, or a maintenance worker at a hotel, because it was really for the service industry.
Got it.
And it was like being like working in a cafeteria. That's what that's what was translating in their head, and I was trying to explain. No. I see something else.
Right. Okay. So you start in the kitchen. You know, dishwasher. Obviously, that evolved over time, right?
Oh, yeah.
So where, if you can think of a significant, I guess, transition point or breakthrough, where would that have been? What would you
well,
say?
Well, I worked there as a dishwasher. Now the problem was there was no movement. People kept their job. People it wasn't as transient as it is now. There was much more loyalty to a chef or a job. People didn't. A lot of people, you know, not everybody had a car. Not every, you know. So you had a job, you kind of kept it, and you know, you didn't bounce around like these days. You know,
right.
Something isn't working out. Screw, you know, you got a phone, go online, find another job. Right.
Yeah.
So I had to leave there as a dishwasher and go work at a new place that was opening, and beg a chef to teach me how to cook.
Okay.
So it went from here to here to here. I went to Lakeside Manor, and all I did was bread food. I breaded food for 8 hours a day.
Okay.
Just breaded. That's all I did was bread. I didn't cook anything, and I was upset. And eventually, I finally wound up with a job at the chef at the Navison Country Club. I hitchhiked to work.
Wow.
I hitchhiked there. I went to the Molly Pitcher Inn. I was out all day looking for a job because, you know, I was kind of butting heads with my dad about several things. And I went to Molly Pitcher Inn. It was a fall night. It was getting chilly, kind of rainy. And the guy at Molly Pitcher said, go to Navison Country Club. It's got to be two miles away. I walked over there and went to this beautiful, I'd never even been in a country club. I'm like, wow. And there was a chef named Jose, who I'm still in touch with today, young man, and he was desperate for a cook. But I wasn't a cook.
Okay.
I was a dishwasher that knew how to cut veggies, prep cook.
Got it.
And he told me to lie. He goes, go up to the manager, tell him you're a broiler cook, not a prep cook. I said, but I'm not. He goes. You just told me if I told you, showed you once what to do, you'd be able to do it. I said, oh, I get it. So
okay.
I had to go basically lie about my credentials. Manager hired me. He paid me well, and I was working full-time as a senior. I didn't have to go to school my senior year because I had the creds and all that. So
okay.
I was working full-time. That was my break.
Okay.
Before college. So I learned how to cook under a master guy named Jose, who was a chef in Afghan country, and what a club it was. So I was high energy, and I got paid to go to school.
Got it. Okay. All right. And so you, at some point, you end up in Europe, right? So
This
might be fast forwarding a few years, as far as I know, but you end up in Europe. And my understanding, I'm referencing the TED Talk that I saw from your website. Sure. You were basically for free just working, right? Or in places.
No, I was I went to Europe. My first job in Europe was in Norway. I was a paid job.
Okay, that was paid.
After the Culinary Institute of America, I was recommended by one of my instructors, chosen to actually go work for the wealthiest family in Norway. And as their chef for the summer at their home/resort. And that was a paid job. But then after that job, I moved down into France and other parts of Europe and worked for free.
Okay. Yeah. And that was just for the learning experience.
Oh, 100%.
Got it.
If you can get your foot in the door of the best restaurants in the world, sometimes you pay them because it's like schooling, or hopefully you know somebody or they see something in you that they can get free labor.
Yeah.
And it's part of hospitality, too. You know, if somebody's trying to learn, and we can always use the hands.
Right.
And sometimes there's housing involved, and it's a practice that doesn't happen as much as it used to. But in the higher restaurants around the world, there's a lot of exchange like that.
Got it. Now, that was where it was, I believe you were in Norway at the time where you and said you had the situation with Prince Charles. I wanted to hear about this. So this was, I had to tell my wife about this. I said, hey, look, because she knows you by name. She says, I told her. Chef Burke actually had a situation where he was it poached salmon? What was it?
I wasn't a chef yet.
You weren't a chef yet.
I was a chef at the house. You know, I was a kid. I was 20. Okay. I just came out of culinary school. I was a good cook. There's no doubt about it. I was always, once I learned, I was good.
Okay.
I was fast. I mean, cooking's like drumming. It's kind of athletic. You got to be good on the line. There's a lot to cooking than what you see. I mean, you got to move and you got to think and you got to taste. And there's, when you're the chef at a home or alone, you have to be responsible for everything.
Right.
From the nuts to the last piece of chocolate. So you're responsible for every taste.
So this wasn't the staff. This was just you.
Just me. And I cooked for up to 20 people.
Okay.
You know, they had, it was the summer. Their home was up on the fjords there. They had a seaplane. I used to take a plane to work. Mm. I stayed in the guest house. We had boats. I could go fishing. Da, 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 da. But I'd work 30 days in a row and then take 4 days off.
Okay.
It was, you know, dependent on their activities. Their family and their businesses would come together for, and they'd entertain for the summer. It's an international shipping company. So anyway, so the Mrs. Stolt-Nielsen was in there. Mrs. Stolt-Nielsen says, Chef, we have a wonderful guest coming this weekend for brunch, and Prince Charles. And I'm like, you know, I don't really know who that was back then. I mean, yeah. you know, I'm thinking it's like that joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, wow, great, you know. and she, one of the children had got, children being me, young adults, was out fishing, came back with a salmon. It's a nice size salmon.
Okay.
And she goes, by the way, Jakob caught this salmon. Can we poach this like they do at the Plaza Hotel or like, she referenced lots of restaurants in New York.
Okay.
And poach it and serve it cold, whole, you know, skin. I'm like, yeah, I can do that. And I knew how to do things. I said, yeah, yeah, no problem. That'd be great. You know. And I said, so this is probably on a Thursday or Friday by then. You know. So then I'm like, okay, I got to poach this thing. It's Saturday. I'm getting ready for Sunday. There's no pot big enough to fit the whole fish.
Okay.
Now, we're in a remote area, like being out in the Hamptons of outside of Oslo, but a little further out. And, you know, there's no, like, culinary stores. There's not like, there's no,
right.
You're going to make a pot.
Right.
So I'm looking to figure out how am I going to cook this fish whole. And I look at the dishwasher, and I'll be damned. I'm like, this is going in the dish. Now, the dishwasher is a steamer.
Yes, yes.
So I wrapped it. I cleaned the fish up and gut it and all that, and then I season it and wrap it in some herb. Then I wrap it in saran wrap, like tight.
Okay.
Tie it with string. It's waterproof. Even though, yeah, you're not putting soap in a dishwasher.
Right.
I put it on the top rack. I curve it, and I put it in there. I go to. I have to. It's midnight now, so it's the Saturday night brunch is in 12 hours.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. I'm doing a Hail Mary, right? I put it in a dishwasher. I go to sleep for a cycle's about 90 minutes. I know this stuff now. I set my alarm 90 minutes. I go back. It got warm, so it took me three cycles. So I kept getting up every 90 minutes, and man, it came out. It was perfect. I was so excited. So I let it sit there, and then it's cooled off.
Right.
I'd unwrap it, peel the skin off, and put the glaze on it, and I was like, got it.
Oh, my gosh. What a story.
And I didn't tell her till the end. She goes, man, that was so good. I said, well, next time you want me to poach salmon, you're going to give me a pot. Oh, yeah. And she was floored because I had to keep a recipe book for her for the whole summer.
Okay.
Of everything I made. She was quite a foodie. And we did the brunch, and then we did now, the part I didn't talk about, that night I had to do prime rib.
Okay.
English, right? Whatever.
Okay.
And I was cutting these big, fat prime ribs like Jersey Shore Chop House.
Yeah.
Which they were appalled.
Really?
Because they don't serve big portions.
Okay.
Because of the war and all the stuff. English cut is thin because they're required to finish everything on the plate or it's a sign of rudeness at someone's house.
Okay.
And this guy's like, there's no way. He was like, these Americans, give me like 20 ounces of beef on a plate. But that's all I knew. All I'd ever seen. So he kind of was upset. Then he apologized the next thing. He goes, no, it's not your fault. He goes, we should have been more specific. But interestingly enough, he taught me that waste. He goes, it's such a waste. And it is. But even this was one of the wealthiest families in the country.
Okay.
And when I threw away aluminum foil or like saran wrap, use it once, they would point it out and say, you know, we don't do that.
Because, really?
You know, we use the foil 2-3 times if it's usable.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
or the saran wrap or a plastic bag that you put something in the Ziploc. They don't just throw things away like we do, which was, she goes, you know, we can afford to do that, but we just don't because we've seen hard times.
Yeah. Understood.
As a country, as a culture.
Right.
You know, which I found very interesting. And that waste is something that, even since then, that bothers me a lot in restaurants and anything. Even when we serve bread. Mm. One of the reasons we don't serve bread, we charge for bread. This happened during a pandemic, is that the amount of bread that goes, if you give everybody bread, 60% of it goes to the garbage.
Yes, I would imagine.
So that's forget the cost of it, just the waste of it, the energy, the time. And normally, because 60% of it goes to the garbage, you're serving inferior bread instead of making something of good quality and charging $5.
Mm.
The customer that really wants bread will be willing to pay $5.
For quality.
It just covers your cost for quality. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's something, actually, that good that came from the pandemic of not wasting things like that.
Good. Oh, that's good. That's a good insight there. Very good. Okay, so we are, and obviously we referenced already Fox and Falcon, the local restaurant. You have several, and I've had to connect with, you know, some of your staff. Anna Rose, like, this is my go-to now.
Huh.
But we're going to visit a couple more because particularly the East Brunswick and West New York locations just caught my eye because I hadn't been to those yet.
East Brunswick is Orchard Park, beautiful property.
Yeah.
And West New York is San Cubano.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to be there tomorrow? Okay.
Well, I make my rounds. You know, I was up in White Plains last night. And, you know, I go to City tomorrow. And then I'll be in Fort Lee again tomorrow and West New York. And Bernardsville tomorrow night.
I'm about to say Bernardsville. Is that Red Pony?
Red Horse.
Got it. All right. So, I'm definitely going to make some rounds after I looked at the website, just looking at some of the restaurants. A lot of these places I film either there on site or in location because I do a lot of footage in neighborhoods. But with Fox and Falcon, so we're going to flash some footage up here. We were able to visit Fox and Falcon just recently. Really were able to see all the different spaces that are available. Quite a remarkable setting. Just want to get a little insight on, because what I don't know is, which I would assume, each restaurant, there's not the same menu, right? We're talking about a different menu and, I guess, overall dynamic for each location, right?
Well, yes. There's a common thread because of my style of cooking in each restaurant. Even San Cubano, even though it has Latin-inspired food, there's a thread of creativity and sensibility that we bring to the table.
Okay.
Ventanas is also another Latin concept in Fort Lee. Fox Falcon is more of an American tavern, where the Red Horses are fine dining, high-end steakhouse style with a little bit more Asian influence in it.
Okay.
Then there's Goat Pizza in Union Beach. But Fox Falcon, it's a beautiful building.
Yeah, it is.
And it's in a nice town. It's in South Orange. It's got a little bit of bustling, and we got the Performing Arts Center there and Seton Hall, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a interesting building because in the back downstairs where the parking lot is, there's a little snug, beautiful Irish little pub.
Yes,
we've just activating now. I mean, we took it over 9 months ago, and we were busy with other projects, and we're back and really focused on Fox and Falcon right now. The dining room is beautiful. We have a sushi bar in the front and a big bar. And there's entertainment, and there's different, you know, trivia and comedies and things like that. But we're trying to develop this into a bustling, you know, downtown restaurant that's solid for the neighborhood.
It is definitely fits the location because the Village, if you're familiar, if you've seen my South Orange episode on YouTube, you know exactly what I'm referencing. It's a walkable, they call it the Village, but it's a walkable area right directly neighboring to the train station. There's a farmer's market that's there also during like summer and even fall. So it's just a lot of bodies, traffic and what have you, very kind of diverse crowd. So that definitely fits the location. That might have been kind of, was that what your thought process was when you first encountered?
We you know, we kind of landed in our lap.
Okay.
You know, there was an opportunity for us to invest in that property and get and take over what was originally there. It was already called Fox and the Falcon. It's not a original concept for us.
Okay.
So we're still sorting out some of that. But it's a gorgeous building, and it's got lots of history. I think it was called Stuff Your Shirt or Stuff Your Face.
Okay.
It was more of a college bar way back when.
Got it. Got it.
You know, 30 years ago or something. People know the location.
Yes.
And it had a couple of different names throughout the decades. But the bones and infrastructure of the location being centered downtown and the building are quite good.
Yes, yes. Location, you can't beat it. Anytime you can step off the train station and be right there, the theater is local. You can walk, South Orange Avenue. Parking lot is right there, yeah. Right? So you're not scrambling trying to find street parking. And my son is and I've plugged this a lot, Seton Hall, because my son is a sophomore there. So he's down in that area pretty consistently. So that's an area that they definitely promote, you know, on campus. If you didn't know, they put that out to parents so that we know that they have a real nice dining option down in the village. So audience right now, if you are on YouTube, you're seeing this footage. But if you are not, if you're on the audio podcast, just visit our our YouTube channel, and you'll be able to see all the visuals here because we do have some very good footage. We're going to end up doing some footage, some of the other locations as well. Okay. Like I mentioned, if we can probably get that maybe over the next month or so to make a few visits. Because they're particularly in East Brunswick, and I didn't plan on going in depth on that. But if I'm remembering correctly, this the East Brunswick location, is that like a wedding kind of location as well?
Yeah, there's The East Brunswick location is in a brand new hotel that is on the same property of Chateau Grand.
Okay.
Wedding facility on Cranberry Road.
Yep.
We do smaller weddings, but they do such a good job with the large weddings. It's got to be one of the best wedding facilities in America, in New Jersey, if not the country. Super.
Yeah.
I mean, I went there, and I'm not even married, and I wanted to get married. That's how nice it is. The hotel we're in and Orchard Park by David Burke has smaller facilities for events.
Okay.
But it's a brand new building, and the architecture and design elements of this are world class. We have famous designers, beautiful soul. Well, so you come in the middle of East Brunswick between Monroe and Sayreville and all that on a country road.
Right.
You come across these beautiful tree-lit properties.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
And it's like you're in the middle of France. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
It's worth the day. It's worth the it's worth the detour to drive there and have a meal and treat yourself nicely. Really special.
Yes, yes. So for that reason, we wanted to be able to definitely line that up. That, and I wanted to get some of, because we've seen obviously the kind of suburban, but still somewhat active. That's how I describe that Montclair, South Orange area.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the suburbs, but it's still kind of a bustling environment,
yeah.
Right? But
yes.
Then it's a totally different aesthetic and feel when you're in East Brunswick.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said about the approach of a restaurant. When you're in South Orange, you got to park and you got to walk or schlep a little bit.
Yeah.
You come here, you pull up, you see a beautiful, the architect, it's like you're in Versailles. And
yeah.
Then you have valet parking, and you get out. And there's a whole different entrance and feel of going. It's very similar. Like, I have a colleague, one of the best chefs in America. He's got a restaurant in New York City and one in Napa Valley. Right?
Uh-huh.
In New York City, a customer that has to get to his restaurant in rush hour, trying to hail a cab or an Uber or get stuck here and there in traffic, the stress of getting there and then walking through a high rise and going up three floors to his restaurant with a beautiful view. Is not the same as spending the afternoon at a spa in Napa Valley
yes.
or winery and then being able to take a country road up into a beautiful estate and have dinner.
Yes.
So the entrance has a lot to do with the overall impression of what you're going to get.
Yes, yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, before we close out, I wanted to definitely touch on, I think you had some recent events down the shore. If these were kind of like competitions, I want to say you're one of the features there, of course.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Just give some insights on what's been happening recently over
well,
the past.
We
I
have
think
a restaurant
number two
in Union Beach, really close to where I grew up. It's called the Goat.
The Goat.
Route 36, and we, you know, you mentioned Casey Webb, who happens to live 300 yards from me.
Okay.
On the street. And he's a new friend. And we had Lauren Van Loo, who was a CHOP champion. And there's another young lady named Alex Donadio, who I had done some Instagram cooking in my house during the pandemic. She's a professional police officer, but she also is on a show called Next Level Chef currently.
Okay.
So we decided we're going to do a Beat Burke event up in the upstairs chandelier room at the GOAT.
Okay.
And we did it with Lauren. It was very, it was fulfilling. It was full. It was exciting. So we both get a mystery basket. It's competition, but it's really a lot of fun.
Yes.
And it's a Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock. The next one, it's not this Sunday, the following Sunday. That'll be Casey Webb and I.
Right.
And then the one after that will be Alex Donadio. It's just a great, you know, it's a three-course meal plus some hors d'oeuvres. You see the competition, his autographs, his Q&A.
Yes.
You know, it's a good afternoon out. It's good for the whole family. It's good for kids. It's good for, and I think it's a value-driven. You know, we usually do value-driven things like that. I think it's $65 for three courses.
Okay.
And plus the competition. And,
absolutely.
You know, so we're looking forward to doing more of that. We try to constantly build in events in Bernersville with comedy, trivia, bingo once in a while. And good value-driven meals, not too expensive, but we're trying to create a social scene at certain concepts.
Got it. Yeah, I was aiming to attend the one with Casey coming up. My wife and I are going to be away that weekend, so yeah. I'm targeting the April event.
Okay. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Anytime you like. We'll probably do a couple more of those in different locations too.
Okay.
And if you meet any young chefs that are up for the challenge, let me know.
Okay.
It's more in good fun than it is in we don't have one of those things.
Like the championship belt.
Yeah, we don't have the championship.
Yeah,
not yet.
So those who can't see, obviously, even if you're watching on YouTube, I'm gonna flash a copy of the championship wrestling belt we have here. This is, believe it or not, that is the original, that's Ric Flair's original. Right?
When it looks nice.
Well, when I say original, Ric Flair got eventually an upgrade belt, right? It looked like this huge, big golden belt. So our studio guy, who's great, he has a wrestling background, and he's connected in that world. So this was picked up on like an auction or something like that, right? So we'll flash a photo up on this one. But it's good to. I mean, the competitions that I've seen televised, they seem to be like really. And good fun. I mean, when you're around food and good food, right? It's the spirit of it is kind of celebratory in general. But yeah, I'm looking forward to having that opportunity for sure.
And you know, it's educational. People learn something. There's it's different.
Yeah,
it's different. We eat so many meals, and sometimes you just want something that's a little more entertaining or educational, or just a good reason to go out and celebrate. Especially when times like this, where you should be around family, and people, put the phone down, have a good meal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take a deep breath and have a conversation.
Absolutely.
And spring is here.
Here we are. Nice 70 degree weather day today. We just hope it holds out. That's a crazy thing, as I mentioned to Casey when I had Casey Webb here, that my roots, I'm originally from Virginia, right?
Okay.
So born and raised there, but 1999, I moved to New Jersey, been here ever since, so most of my adult life has been here.
Sure.
So now home for me is New Jersey. Somebody asked me where's home, it's New Jersey,
sure.
Right? But yeah, it's unique that we don't really get our solid, continuous warm weather until like late May. Right? So then we can reliably, we can pick a beach day or whatever. So now.
We get these teases during the day, but it's still chilly at night.
Yeah, still chilly at night for sure.
Even on the Jersey Shore, we're in Seabright, we have a restaurant.
Yeah.
And it doesn't warm up enough at night until the middle of June.
Yeah.
Because of the wind. And the ocean is 10 degrees less. So.
Right.
So we get these teases, and we have a lot of restaurants that have outdoor seating. It's like, wait until May 1st. April, it always snows the first week of April. Trust me. April is, March is a weird month.
It is.
This is nice to have right now.
It
and
is.
Then it'll probably get cold again. And then by mid-April, we should be making our way. But, hopefully good things come this summer.
Absolutely. And we're trying to do a few more rounds down the shore for my YouTube episodes. I'm trying to really get some of my shore episodes before it gets really crowded.
Well, you also have Jersey Shore Restaurant Week coming up in April. Yes. I think it's April 18th or something like that. Yeah, it's a 10-day. It's always a great way to try local places. And you know what? The more people can support local restaurants or any local business. It was a local business in Red Bank. Rumpson that closed was in business for 100 years. It's sad. But anytime you can support the local,
yes,
homegrown, local entrepreneurs, it means a lot.
We will be filming down there that week.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? So yep. I've got to just logistically map it out. So I'll be in touch with Anna Rose for sure just to see what we can kind of coordinate. But, yeah, we will be filming YouTube episodes down there. I just want to, again, I want to thank you. I'm sure you're a busy man. I appreciate your patronage of the show here. We're looking to just promote New Jersey, right? To elevate New Jersey.
Anytime. Thank you. Right? Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, likewise. So thank you again for those who are watching and listening. Again, be sure to click like, subscribe, notification bell. If you are watching, you also have an opportunity to reach out to me. My contact information is in the details. So whether you are exploring New Jersey in general, I have people who are messaging in just because they grew up here. And they're not looking to buy a home or sell a home, but they just look and they remember. Because now they're in Minnesota, New Mexico, California. And they'll just say, hey, we've been watching your episodes because I grew up in Dunellen. Or I, you know, grew up in Asbury Park or West Orange or whatever it may be, right? So drop the comments, right? So if you have some comments, even if you want to ask Chef Burke some questions, I can pass that information on as well. So drop in some commentary. If you're obviously looking to do something with real estate, I am here. I have even my relocation guide just right here in the description as well. So we would welcome any conversation or inquiries on New Jersey or, of course, real estate, because that's my wheelhouse. So thanks again for joining, and we will see you next week. Stay safe and stay tuned to New Jersey Living.